good to see everyone out. Hope that everybody that is here is doing well, and hope that everybody that is at home is doing better or doing well also, and everybody is able to continue to get better and be strengthened. And Lord willing, here soon we'll have a full attendance again. Last Sunday we was low in attendance. Wednesday night was even lower. We got maybe a little more this Sunday than we did last Sunday. So it's good to be able to gather together when the opportunity is given to us. So decided to try to put out a lesson to go along with the theme songs after Ron had got a hold of me. Decided to just go ahead and plan them together, let me know that he is staying home. So plan that together and go along and hopefully help us as we go throughout teaching and admonishing one another. And so I know I've done lessons about being holy in the past and trying to do it a little different. I know it may seem that some of it may be the same points, but hopefully encouraging as we go throughout the lesson. So a point that God can make you holy is what I want to talk about. And I know my mindset goes to my, I know a lesson that I have done when I talk about being holy is that we can be holy is what I like to talk about and point it out, because we often get in a mindset of holy and to a point that that's not us, that's not who we are. I mean, we're human, and so therefore how can human be holy? But we need to understand that God can make us holy. One, to start off with in our lesson, and as I usually point out when we talk about being holy, is that it does have to come from God, because God is the one that is holy. God is holy, and it makes mention of that time and again throughout the scriptures, that God is holy. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 2, 1 Samuel 2 and in verse 2, if you're opening up your Bibles and following along, it says here, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God." And so here, just speaking about our Lord, speaking about our God, that He is holy, that there is none other like our God, none other holy as He is holy. And so when we say the word holy, what are we talking about is a question we might get caught up in asking. We always maybe make that fun joke around because, you know, we might have a hole in our pants. These are my holy pants, or this is my holy shirt. And it's just, you know, because it's got holes in it. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's not the correct term. As we talk about being holy, holy is something that is sacred. And definition, you might look find a sacred place, because we will talk about the holy temple or the holy tabernacle, holy places throughout scripture. And something that may be rare is part of the definition. Consecrated to God, dedicated. Another point would be apartness, separateness. And another would be blameless or pure. And so these are the definitions that you might get up and searching through Strong's Concordance and searching the term holy. And so when we say God is holy, we're saying God is sacred. When we say God is holy, God is separate than everybody else. God is pure. God is blameless. God is different than anything else. God is holy. We need to understand that God is truly holy in all those points. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, again here in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, making the point that God is holy. It says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" And again in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4, "You alone are holy." And so in all three of these verses, as we look at God being holy, it goes forth and makes that point of separateness, of apartness, of being different than anything else, that none, you know, He's on His own level of holiness, right? Because we certainly are not going to be as holy as He is, but we are called to that holiness. God is holy. And so when we try to make the point of whether or not somebody is or is not holy, and when we try to strive to become holy ourselves,
God is who we look to, just as almost anything else, as we become Christians of what we want to do, we look to God, we look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we look to the apostles who the Spirit dwelled within and guided in direction to see how it is we are supposed to be living our lives. We look to Jesus about love, we look to God about love, we look to God about forgiving others as He has forgiven us. And so when we talk about being holy, it's the same situation. We turn to God because God is holy. And God can make things holy. As God is holy, and He has that power and great might that we've talked about the last couple lessons. You know, we talked about the wow factor of God a couple Sundays ago. And then last Sunday, just we went a little further in detail how He had power over sickness and diseases. And God has the power. You know, you say He can cure all diseases. This is even better. He can make things holy. He can make things pure, blameless. And think about the power that takes. That goes further because, right, they asked Jesus, right, well, who can forgive sins? You know, and here He is, He's curing people from their sicknesses, He's raising the dead, and now that He says, you are forgiven of your sins, that's when they start to question, well, who can forgive sins? That's even greater than curing all diseases. And so God has the power to make things holy. And we'll talk about making us holy here in a bit, but to go forth and point out some of the things that God has made holy, we know that the brethren, the Israelites and others would get caught up in the mountains. We study Genesis and Exodus, and we see the traveling that Abraham done, that Isaac and Jacob, as they went from place to place, and as the Lord appeared unto them, and angels appeared unto them, and they would build a temple here because that's where God had spoken to them. They built a temple there, or they would dedicate a certain spot, and that kind of became a holy place. And so Psalm 99 and verse 9, it says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain. And the Lord our God is holy. And your mindset might go to the woman at the well as she questioned Jesus. Jesus, do we go to Jerusalem? Do we go down to the temple? Or as my people say, do we go up to the mountain? And where's the holy place? Which one do we go to? Well, God's made them both holy, right? God's the one that directed them in both instances. And so God's the one that makes it holy. That's what it comes down to, and that's what the Lord points out to her. It's about God. It's about our attitude with Him. It's about Him dwelling within our hearts. God makes things holy. God makes us holy. He is the one we need to be turning to. In Acts chapter 7, here referring to what took place in Exodus 3 and verse 5 with Moses as he talks to our Lord, to our God in the burning bush. Acts 7 and in verse 33. And it brings out here, it says, then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And again, my mindset as I read the situation that's taking place, and I know I brought this up in the past, but as Moses is, you know, going forth and taking care of his flock and guiding them from one place to another, protecting them, I'm sure he was already here and already passed over this spot once before. They had to take the sandals off then. But then all of a sudden there's a burning bush. And so what made it holy is the fact that God was speaking to him through this burning bush. God made the place holy. The same thing as you go to Joshua 5 and verse 15. As Joshua sees the commander of the Lord's army up on the mountain, he goes and speaks to him. And what does he say? Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Take off your sandals. What made the place holy? God made the place holy. God makes things holy. Again, in Exodus 28, verse 4, as we kind of talked about this morning in the adult class, as we discussed the priest a little bit and what they were to wear as they entered into the holy place or into the tabernacle as they made sacrifices. And again, what they were to wear was designed by God. It was God told them how to make their garments. And so Exodus 28 and in verse 4 here, it says, these are the garments that they shall make a breast piece, an ephod, a robe, a coat, or checkered work, a turban and a sash, they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons to serve me as priests. It says you're going to make holy garments. Well, again, what made them holy? What?
It was the fact that God was telling them how to make them. As you would study about these points later on, you would go forth and see that God gave them specific designs on everything when they were going forth about the tabernacle and about what the priests were to wear, about the ephod, and how they were to be taken. God is the one that made it holy. And when God made it holy, they weren't to use it for anything else. It was specifically designed for that and that alone. As you read about the holy garments, as you go forth in Exodus 26 and verse 33 and talk about the holy place and the most holy place here, it brings out, it says, "And you shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark and the testimony there within the veil, and the veil shall separate you for you the holy place from the most holy." It just continues. You've got the holy anointing oil and the holy incense that was to be burned. And then in Leviticus 2 and verse 3, you have, again, the most holy part of the food, the grain offering that was being made. It's just continuous on that. And again, if you want to take a good study on holiness, go to Leviticus, read through it. I believe when I looked it up, it said there was over 70 verses in Leviticus that had the word holy in it. And how many verses probably repeated the word once or twice? So over 70 times in the book of Leviticus, as it talks about the garments, and it talks about the tabernacle, and it talks about the oil and the sacrifices and everything that was supposed to be done. And when God designed these things, He made them whole. Just as He made the Sabbath day holy. God makes certain things holy. We don't get to go forth and claim certain things and be holy on our own. We don't get to go forth and just make somebody holy or make something holy. God makes it holy because He is holy. So what makes something holy is we talk about something that is sacred or rare or something that is set apart or pure and blameless. It's God that's able to do that. God is. And so we need to remember that as we go into the point that He has called us to be holy. He has called us out of sin. He's called us out of darkness. Therefore, He's taken us from being part of this world to being separate from this world. Again, not that we are truly out of the world, but we are still living inside of it. But we are called out of it to become holy, where we look different, we act different, we are holy as God is. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, if you turn along with me there, and read, as it says, "Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And again, going back all the way to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, and looking there in verse 2, it said it makes mention of it time and again throughout the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 19 and verse 2, it says, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And remember what it said here. It says, "Speak to all the congregation." It doesn't say, "Speak to the priest, speak to Aaron and his sons." Now, yes, they were to be holy, absolutely. They had to cleanse themselves before they went into the tabernacle. They had to wash themselves and be clean before they made those sacrifices. But who was to be holy? Everyone was to be. The whole entire congregation, all of Israel, was to be putting God first and separating themselves from the rest of the world. They were God's children. He had called Abraham out and dedicated him and his descendants for a separateness of the rest of the people. There was something different about them. What was different? God was the difference. God guiding them, God directing them, God instructing them, God being with them. It was God. And so the whole congregation was to be holy. You shall be holy. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 7. Here reading, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." He's called us to holiness. We're choosing to become a Christian. It's not the attitude, "We are all sinners, so it's okay." We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Biblical statement. Find book, chapter, and verse. You read it there in Romans.
But we're not supposed to continue in sin. That's where we get called out. That's where we're called to be holy. We are supposed to change that path. When we obey the gospel, when we are baptized into Christ, we're supposed to be washing away those sins. Becoming up a new person, putting to death the person of sin, and now walking a lifestyle in holiness. Following the path that Christ has given to us. Holy and blameless, as brought out in Ephesians 1 and in verse 4. And again, as we use that term blameless, and that was part of the definition I had given, you know, that's what we talk about when we go through the qualifications of elders. And again, we go through that mindset of finding someone who is perfect. What we just said, Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you can't find somebody who is perfect because Christ doesn't live physically today. He's not here where we can put him as a member of the congregation and let him be the elder. And so we need to understand blameless is the one who has repented of their sins and now has shown through his work and time that he has dedicated his life to God and that he has overcome temptation. When he does fall short, he repents of it and he gives himself back over to God. And it's one who is holy and blameless. But again, the only way to get there is through our God. God makes us holy. As he calls you to it, we have to be willing to accept it. We have to be willing to turn to him to become holy. In Acts chapter 2, and we see here as you study this, and I know hopefully most of us know what's taking place here, everything that has been taught as Peter preached here. But you go up to verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Here, Peter, you know, what do we need to do? How can we be cleansed? How can our sins be washed away? How can we be forgiven? Forgiven for what? Peter just said, "With you who crucified Christ." Verse 36, "Both Lord and Christ Jesus, whom you crucified." I mean, he went forth. You guys are the reason he died. You guys were in the crowd saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." But they could still be made whole. They could be forgiven. How? By being baptized. By God washing your sins away, by the blood of Christ washing sins away, we become holy. And as you go all the way down to the bottom of the chapter, the end of the chapter, verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved." Some translation says the Lord added to the church day by day those who were being saved. Added to the church. And if you look up the definition of church, church is the called out. Again, that's when we say we are part of the Lord's church, we are part of those who the Lord called out. Called out of sin. Called out of darkness. Called out of this world. To become holy, faithful servants of his. We can be made holy. I mean, you go back again, whether it was Moses in the burning bush, it was just, you know, land at one point when it became holy because the Lord was there. You know, and then the tabernacle that was made, or the temple that was made, all the stuff that they had used came from the same material that someone used for something else. But when it was designed by God and dedicated to this certain purpose, it became holy. And the priest, under the Old Testament, and the children of Israel, when someone came into part of the tribe of Israel, how did they become holy? Well, they obeyed God. They were able to become holy. Before they did that, before they were circumcised, before certain things took place, were they holy? God made them holy. It's the same thing for us today. As we have all sinned and fallen short, we are supposed to turn from these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes forth and lists all these things that are unholy, that are unrighteous, that is sin, that will keep us from getting to heaven. But again, God can make you holy, because in verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
You know, as we've talked about a little bit in our adult lessons, we've entered into this new study in 1 Corinthians, that they've kind of veered off since they've all obeyed the gospel. They've got caught up in saying that they were of Paul or of Apollos or Cephas. And so that they get caught up in dwelling with treating the men like these high scholars, and they wanted to be named among them. Then we see that they are split about food, and they're split about the sexual morality here, and they're split about this and that. And here Paul reminds me, guys, you guys were cleansed. This is not the way children of God are supposed to act. You're no longer part of this world. You were cleansed. You were washed. You were sanctified in the blood of Christ. And you start acting like we're holy children. Start acting different from the rest of the world. Separate and apart. Shining that light so that others can see and so that others can obey the gospel also. But we first have to start acting ourselves. We have to start walking the walk that God has given to us in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 and verse 14, here speaking of the Lord's sacrifice, again it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He said he redeemed us from those sins. And he sacrificed himself so that he could redeem us and to purify for himself. He purified us. He has made us holy. When we obey the gospel, when you come up, you're pure. You're blameless. Spotless. Nothing cleaner than when you come up. Come being baptized and not washing your sins. We've been made whole. From that point on, it's a matter of striving to continue in that path that Christ has set for us. Now, we do fall short from time to time. We know we can go to God and ask for prayers and requests, but we can't have the mindset, the attitude, well, it's just human nature. It should still upset us when we sin and fall short. It should still strike fear in our hearts when we notice that we've fallen short, saying, if I don't hurry up and make my life right with God, then I face judgment. We should always be striving to be pure and holy in our God. And remember, the only way to do it is by going to God. Because God is holy, and He is the one that can make us. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning to many who need to obey the gospel as we're going to be singing, is thy heart right with God? Again, asking if your heart is holy. Is it pure? And in the chorus of the song, it continues to say, cleansed and made holy. Right in the sight of God. So if you're here this morning, you need to make your life right in the sight of God. You need to come forward because your heart is telling you that you need to be baptized to wash those sins away. I encourage you to do so. If you're here, you will obey the gospel.